This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Allowed to because they're not a United States citizen, but I will vote for that person over the choices that we have.
Wow! Politics.
So all that being said, right, like we've talked about this and it seems like everybody's leaning towards it doesn't seem as feasible to do a bubble than to like try and find another way to do it. But the problem is, as we talked about earlier, the NBA absolutely runs so much on the stars. What happens if, right, like the instance in which I think we've seen a lot of people have had a certain opinion and change it when they have this personally affect them? What happens if you do, in fact, see the star player or any player that actually does have adverse reactions to this?
Yeah.
Then what is the feeling? Because the NBA runs on stars.
I still think LeBron could just get a group of people together and be like, no, this is what we're doing. And then they're like, okay.
I think when, just for example, I think when Magic Johnson got HIV, I think a lot of guys that were sleeping with multiple people every night probably changed their way of living for a little bit.
Sleeping with less people then?
Yeah, like they were like, well, shoot, maybe I can get HIV. Maybe I should really back off of this lifestyle. But because nothing happened to Magic Johnson, obviously he didn't contract AIDS and he didn't die. We know that he's a healthy person right now living with HIV. Then, I mean, and that was a long time ago. So it's just like, no big deal. And so to kind of, my point is to Reggie's point, if today Juan Soto died, which he's 100%, he's playing tonight. But if all of a sudden Juan Soto died on us, that would change a lot of the way that we look at this. Because we'd be like, oh my God, a 21-year-old, like, healthy MVP candidate just died of coronavirus? Like, I'm staying inside if that happens. But that's not happening. So that's why we're not really taking it very seriously. That's why HIV, honestly, to people that have that lifestyle, they don't care. Because name me the person that is famous that has HIV that died of it.
Freddie Mercury. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
Arthur Ashe died of it, too. I know there's other people that died of HIV/AIDS, but
it's just been a minute.
It's not really affecting, like, I'm going to go try to sleep with everybody tonight.
Marking that. Also, excellent dismount, fellas.
Coming up next. Should college football go back to being more regional? Bet you didn't see that coming. And focused on conference play. We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Walk-Ons, and it's also brought to you by personal injury lawyers Frankel & Frankel. Have you been injured in a wreck with a work truck or 18-wheeler? Well, give a call to 214-333-3333, or you can go online to truckwreck.com, principal office, Dallas, Texas.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Should college football go back, at least this year, being more regional and focused on conference play, or would you like that to be the norm going forward? So we're going to talk about that. But also, Corey, I know you're an Oklahoma guy. Are you excited about the person who was once going to be the future coach of the Cowboys, Lincoln Riley, signing that 6-year extension to stay with the Sooners?
I mean, yeah, that's awesome. The team can continue to be one of the most explosive offenses in the entire country, fail on defense, and lose in the college football championship round every year. Listen, he needs to get – I'll be more excited when he has a fantastic defensive coordinator and they recruit some of the top defensive recruits in the country to slow down whatever the other teams are doing in the SEC. Because right now, they're at the top. He's fantastic at getting quarterbacks to play and recruiting. Man, look at how many quarterbacks he's been able to get into that system and work with from other schools, obviously. And even the young guys that he gets, the blue chippers that he gets out of high school, they sign there and they don't ever even get to play. So he's fantastic at recruiting. They've been successful, but their defense still lacks so much that they're not going to be able to be national title contenders until they fix that.
You know, Oklahoma, a lot of credit to Oklahoma through Bob Stoops and now Lincoln Riley. I mean, they've been unbelievable in the Big 12. But now here's my shot. What the crap, Big 12? Like, can you not – what's wrong with you? Like, why is it that you are mostly located in the state of Texas? And if you're not, if you're OU, heck, 50% of your players at OU are from the state of Texas. I mean, that's where your major recruiting is coming from. How can you guys not put together a second good team? And then sometimes beat OU every once in a while and win the conference. Look, Alabama's unbelievable, right? I mean, Nick Saban is arguably the greatest college football coach of all time.
Sure.
But LSU just won the national championship. Through this time, Auburn has competed for a national championship. I mean, through this, you know, and it was a little bit ago, but Florida was awesome not that long ago. I mean, I just don't get Georgia is consistently really good in competing to make the Final Four here and there. So I just don't get why the Big 12 – it's not OU's fault. OU is a great school that keeps putting out a great product that can compete to make the Final Four. Zero other teams in the Big 12 located primarily in the state of Texas can't compete. Mm-hmm.
You just wait. Texas is back this time, probably. Yeah, right.
Hey, A&M can come back to the Big 12, and they'll probably beat everybody.
Except for Oklahoma. That is probably true.
I mean, it's probably A&M's fault, honestly. Like, if you really wanted to say A&M moving to the SEC really allowed SEC schools to further pillage the recruiting in Texas and take talent away from prominent SEC and or not SEC, Big 12, and maybe even Southwest Conference, former Southwest Conference organizations.
So,
because they were jealous of their big brother.
Yeah. That's why they're the only team that left the Big 12.
Look, I'm not an A&M fan, but UT really screwed everybody over by going, we get all the profits and you guys get whatever's left.
They've been awesome since then, and the Longhorn Network's been a major success. Don't worry about it. So, look.
A lot of people don't understand, Kevin, that we have a lot of sarcasm on this show, all right? I just want to point out there's a lot of sarcasm being thrown around.
And if you're
going to
come at me with some anti-A&M opinion, trust me, I know. I went there. I know that we're mediocre. I got it. So the NCAA ruled that week zero can get started on August 29th. So that's part one of this. Then you look at it in terms of like the Big Ten and the Pac-12, they're getting rid of the non-conference. They're looking at, you know, the 10-game conference schedule. So then the question becomes, do you think, maybe we'll see it obviously this year, but do you think that should be the way that college football looks more going forward as well, the more regional conference-based look at it, because it's turned into like, there's a handful of unbelievable non-conference games. You know, you've got your you know, Alabama, Florida State, or whatever have you, and then a whole bunch of dud non-conference games, and then you, by the time you get to October, you're like, okay, good, we're into conference. Do you wish that the bulk of the schedule was now conference, and in the conferences where you could, you played every single team and got away from that national game focus?
I just want to confirm the purpose of this is not because of coronavirus, right? It is because of, like, getting the conferences to mean something.
That's not why they're doing it this year, though.
Okay, like, all right.
They're doing it because they canceled all of their non-conference games because of corona, but in that vein, could that have been the springboard to find out that, like, right, maybe this is better anyway?
Yeah, like a 60-game season might be better for baseball. Or, you know, like,
I'm in for that.
Or more playoff teams, Mike. We said, hey, try some stuff. Throw it up against the wall. See what sticks. With this, you know, Reggie brought this up yesterday when we kind of started talking about it. I think he's dead on. And that is that it does – the regional rivalries really do become stronger whenever you have those two teams are kind of forced to go after it. And maybe a couple teams could face each other twice in a season that could change something, that could really, you know, catapult the rivalry between those two teams. But whenever you play the warm-up games, it's just weird, man. And I think there are dips in the season where it's like, okay, this game is about money more than it is about an actual rivalry, or more than it is about our conference and strengthening that.
Well, I guess the reason that they do play a bad team at least once every team is they do want a practice game. I know they have to pay for that practice game, but because there is no preseason college football, as in, like, you get a preseason game here and there, that's why they do it. But, I mean, I'm not interested at all. Nothing against, you know, the smaller schools. I'm just not interested when they play OU, whether it's Southeastern, Oklahoma, Southern, whatever. You know, I'm just like, what, you know, I'm just not going to pay attention to that OU football game. But if they are playing UCLA, and UCLA hasn't even been a good team for at least 5 years, if not longer, I'm interested in that game because of the name of UCLA. So I'm okay with it. I mean, the tough thing about the Big 12 is there's only 10 teams, so you can only play 9 games. I wouldn't mind if going in the future you just played a 12-game schedule of just conference games. But I don't know what that does to a team or a league like the Big 12 that doesn't have enough teams to actually
do that.
You have
to expand.
And honestly, that would be the case, right? Like, college football has become incredibly national in large part because of the chase for championships, as we've included the playoffs and everything. And I truly believe that part of the Big 12 being a 10-team league is that they're completely concerned about trying to make sure that they can reach these playoffs. Like, someone like a institution like Houston absolutely should have been included into the Big 12 in a long time, but, you know, the powers that be at Texas have, you know, boxed them out, because that's another school that would have a strong recruiting base in the city of Houston, where Texas already has a recruiting hold, right? And if you have that within, like, the conference standpoint, and conference play actually becomes a lot more important, and, you know, conference championships become more important than they are right now, I think that you might see teams and conferences become a lot more amicable to the idea of bigger conferences, a little bit bigger conferences where you stay a little bit more in-house.
And then would it also change this? Because obviously all five major conferences do not get represented in the playoffs. If you moved it to 8 and you said, look, the conference champions are going to get the 1-5 seed, and then we have 3 wild cards out there. And so now your conference, it doesn't matter if your conference is weak or whatever, if your schedule, if there is out-of-conference games, is weak. All it matters is you are the best team in your conference, you do make the playoffs, and then we take the 3 best teams that didn't win the conference, and now we have ourselves something where, you know, hey, maybe Houston would get in. Maybe an SMU would get into the Big 12 to round out, your conference into actually being 12 teams in the Big 12.
And you still make it mean something if you lose that key game. Like, Alabama could play Georgia, and if you're Georgia and you lose that game, you might be like, well, we're not going to win the SEC, but we could still get one of the wild cards. And every one of the other Power Fives are positioned to do that. They can have like the 11-game schedule, let's say. Yeah. So with the exception of the Big 12, which of course only has 10 schools, and now the Big 10 I think is up to 14. And so it's very confusing. I also think we should just go ahead and rename some of these conferences just to go ahead and knock that out. But yeah, go ahead and add two schools. Now, whatever the two schools are, if you want a local school, like you said, like SMU or Houston, but I know one of the issues with that to begin with was I heard what Reggie said about boxing Houston out, but it's also what do you bring to the conference? Like, yeah. I'm not going to pretend that A&M was brought to the SEC because, oh, they're the best. Like, they were an opening into the Texas market. Missouri was an opening into the Midwest. Like, what do you bring? And you know what? You know what I would say? Go ahead and bring in Notre Dame. And I know it seems weird because somebody was like, well, what's Notre Dame going to do? They're independent. I know they're going to join up with the ACC for football, and they're already there for basketball. See if you can pry them away. ACC has too many damn basketball schools as it is. So see if you can bring them in. And maybe that brings the Big 12 more of a national perspective, because to Bassick's point, what is their national perspective? It's Oklahoma. And before that, Texas was part of the group. Other than that, Oklahoma State's not a national team. No. Sorry, TCU, you're not a national team either. Neither is Baylor. Notre Dame would bring you some more weight to your national perspective as a conference.
I will say something like this would really kill my heart a little bit as a Mean Green alumnist. Because then, you know, going and losing 41-0 to Alabama just isn't going to happen as frequently.
Well, if I could get you into the Big 12 and you could lose to Oklahoma every year.
Hey, that off chance that you get to beat Arkansas, though, might really pop for you. So, you know, but that is the one thing is that, you know, some of those little schools got to get into bigger conferences for, you know, to get that play where you get on that big stage. And, Mike, like we were saying, you pay – those teams pay the schools for those wins.
And I know this is a long time from now, but I just can't see in 2030 there actually being a Big 12. I think that –
I mean, it almost dissolved like three times over the last 8 years.
I just think it will. I think when we're – look, we just brought up great points. I love TCU. I just bought a brand-new TCU collared shirt to play golf in. But – I mean, let's face it. It's just Baylor, TCU, Texas Tech. I love these schools. I want them to be successful. It's just not nationally known enough. And Texas can't really carry it anymore because they don't win anything. So I just think ultimately these 10 schools are going to go to the Big Four. And they're going to have to choose, are you going to go Pac-12? Are you going to go Big Ten? Are you going to go SEC? Whatever you're going to go. I think that eventually, and I'll give it 10 years, that they are going to find another conference to play in, and there will be no such thing as Big 10 or Big 12 sports.
When does that Longhorn Network deal fold? Because I imagine that'll tell you.
I thought it was like a 30-year contract or something insane.
My bad. Yeah,
I'll double check that.
I was hoping that like once the Longhorn Network deal is up, because I can't imagine ESPN signs back up for that. Because I mean, what have they actually gotten out of that? I think once that time comes, the difference in the landscape, and I think honestly, the lack of the foothold that it created would make it so that Texas is more likely to open themselves up to other things, like a Notre Dame situation that Kevin brought up, because Notre Dame, one of the reasons they're still independent is that NBC deal that they have.
Yep, absolutely. And look, if Texas went out on the open market, they would be very desirable. Like the Pac-12 would lose their mind trying to scoop them up.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Which Cowboys aren't ready? Who got a Ferrari? And how's Bruce Arians going to coach? Do all that next right here on The Fan.
If you're tired of overpaying for your alarm monitoring, call my security company, DFW Security, at 888-507-2344. They'll monitor your existing compatible alarm system for as little as $12.95 a month. And you don't have to sacrifice quality to save money. DFW Security has been protecting homes and businesses in the Metroplex for over 25 years with thousands of five-star reviews. If you don't have a system or you want to upgrade to the latest technology, do what I did and upgrade to the 7-inch color touchscreen smart hub with security starting at just $29.99 a month. I'll even have a better deal at the end here. You'll get DFW's award-winning mobile app powered by Alarm.com. It's smart home ready so you can add cameras, smart locks, and more. And I'm talking about that $29.99. $29.99 a month. If you call DFW Security and ask for the Coach Ballsack special, they'll even add more into that deal, and it's a great deal. And if you get installed here in the month of July, we're running out here of time, but you get 2 months free, so it's taken care of in August and September with no payments. Call now at 888-507-2344. Make sure to ask for the Ballsack special or go to dfwsecurity.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, we're going till 2:30 today, leading you up to Rangers pregame. Got the Diamondbacks coming up first pitch at 3:05. But right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip in to some gridiron gravy.
Yep.
And we start with the Cowboys for yesterday. I'm not particularly concerned. If you are, please let me know. That Tyrone Crawford, hip, and Don Terry Poe, quad, were placed on the physically unable to perform list as they work their way back from surgery. We usually see this. There's a couple players just not ready to go at the start of this thing. Any concern there, or that's just part of the gig?
Very small, Corey. Like, I don't want to overblow this at all. It's just you would love that your veteran guys, that your whole team comes into camp healthy. Because, you know, injuries are going to happen. I just remember last year, I know it was different major surgery, but DeMarcus Lawrence started off slow. Ezekiel Elliott, it wasn't because of injury, but because of holdout start. His first 7 or 8 games, Ezekiel Elliott was not the superstar running back that we, you know, know. So, I hope it's very small. Hopefully everything's great. Tyrone Crawford, it does concern me more, Corey, just because we saw that last year he couldn't play football, and maybe at his age, maybe his career is over.
When I first saw the headline, I was like, oh, they opted out? You know, I didn't expect that. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. Do you get to have a couple other guys on your roster while these guys can still work out and train with your trainers? Or is that not an option?
You're not allowed to bring anybody in.
There's no benefit to the Cowboys then.
Nope.
All right, then I know it'll happen at some point. I just was watching some video.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.